I'd invite you to join me in our second reading. You'll find it in the book of Ruth, and we're reading chapter 1, verses 3 through 18. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And they had lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept out loud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband, even if I thought that there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, as we come to this place of worship this day, we do so, we confess, as broken people. As we hear of another broken person's amazing proclamation of faith and faithfulness, we ask that we too might join our voices together, that we might hear again your call to us and your promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So this morning, I want to start, and I want to invite you, I want to ask you, imagine with me that this week, you and I have a special appointment. Early this week, you and I in my office are going to get to have counsel. We're going to get to have an interview. We're going to get to spend time with some of the headliners of the Old Testament. First on the agenda, we're going to get to sit with Moses. We're going to get to be with Moses. Can you imagine the questions we can ask? Like, Moses, first of all, what was it like to hold the staff when you held it out over the sea and you watched as the waters parted? That'd be an interesting conversation, yeah? Or what was it like when you took the staff and you hit the rock and from it flowed water? That would be a pretty interesting story to explore together, right? And we have a great conversation about Moses, about manna and wilderness and God's faithfulness. And then we move on and we get to Elijah. Oh, that's going to be a fun conversation. Here's Elijah right next to us. And we get to say, "You got to watch as fire from heaven came down and consumed the entire altar," right? Like, you're all of these prophets of Baal, and Elijah, you saw the fire come down, right? And then you say, "Elijah, Tell us about flaming chariots picking you up and riding off into the horizon. Some crazy stories, right? It'll be a great morning. And then the next person that comes into our office is Naomi. Another headliner of the Old Testament, and yet our conversation, friends, is going to be entirely different. Think about it. Naomi, she loses her husband. She must have consoled herself that at least I still have my two sons. 10 years later, she loses both of them. What an indescribable loss. What do we say to Naomi? Are there any words to console a woman who's buried her entire earthly family? All that she has left are these two daughters-in-law. And surely, if we're honest, a strained relationship with God. Here she is. She's sitting right in front of you and me. What do we say? I think we're silent. What do we have to say in the face of such great suffering? How much is enough? Friends, we all know someone like Naomi, someone who's been given far more than their share of suffering in life. It's almost as if a dark storm cloud is parked over them, and it never departs. Someone bowed down by suffering upon suffering. It isn't fair. It can't be right. Like Moses and Elijah, some miracles are supernatural. Some of those who suffer have mountaintop moments of faith. At first, they're like Naomi. They're struck down with pain and struggle. And then God whispers that small word of comfort, where God miraculously provides the need that they have, where despite all odds, they get that miraculous health report. And suddenly, it all turns right. Thanks be to God, the cloud lifts and it's rainbows and bird songs again. But not all God's stories are those kind of miracle stories. No, some stories are Naomi's story. This is the story of faith for the rest of us. The stories that are messy, where God's faithfulness is measured in years, not weeks. When the miracle is part of the struggle and does not spare us from it. Our time with Naomi begins right away in the story, and already Naomi's run out of options. She's lost her husband and her two sons. She tells her daughters-in-law, go back to their homes where hopefully they can restart their lives. This is an impossible situation for all of these women. All that is ahead of them is a series of bad choices. And I can only imagine how painful it was for Naomi that day to look these women in the eyes, women that she loved, and say, now is the time for you to go. Now is the time for you two to leave me, and I will be alone in the world. And the passage, in the way that the Old Testament writes so simply, simply writes, they wept. Can you imagine the tears, the pain, the broken hearts? Orpah, for her part, one of those daughters-in-law, she chooses to go home. And you know what's really interesting? The text has no judgment on that choice. Nothing said that that was the wrong move or that she was faithless or she did the wrong thing. Not at all. As if to say she made the choice that she needed to make. But you know Ruth. Ruth made a different choice. Ruth, with no explanation given, says clearly to Naomi, I will not leave you. And she knows what that means. She says it explicitly. She's not just choosing Naomi. She's choosing Naomi's people, Naomi's God. She says, I will not be separated from you by death itself. Friends, this is one of the most stunning statements of commitment and faithfulness in all of the scriptures. And Naomi, to her credit, sees that Ruth is serious. So she gives up trying to convince her otherwise. This is, I think, one of the most unique aspects to Ruth's story, that so much of it is outside of these women's control. They have such little control of their own lives, and yet they wake up each and every day to face that day's unique challenges. And they know all too well that there are moments when there isn't a short path to make the suffering go away. There comes a time when all we do is rise again in a new day to start compassion for ourselves. Because today's challenges are enough. Friend, there are times when 1 + 1 does not equal 2 in our lives. No matter how hard you've tried or how hard you worked, you have faced impossible choices. You are human. Regrets are an unavoidable collection of broken people living in a broken world. Every single one of us has at least one moment seared in our memory. What if I had done something else? What if? And if this is true for you and for me, it's also true for others. Author Brené Brown writes, "Everyone has a story or a struggle that will break your heart. And if we're really paying attention, most people have a story that will bring us to our knees." Christians, like all people, are tempted to judge others on appearances. But like an iceberg, a majority of our lives and the pain that we carry is beneath the surface. Every day is another day of waking up, putting ourselves together, and facing the world. And of the things that makes this task the most difficult is that so often it feels like God is nowhere to be found. One of the most haunting questions of the faith is, where is God in the silence? Make no mistake about it. In the book of Ruth, God never speaks. God never has a word to say. It's a story about navigating the journey when it isn't clear what God wants us to do. God is present, but silent. Honestly, we don't like to talk about these aspects of our lives. I know that they make us uncomfortable. But the seasons when God feels distant are far more common than we think. I know that there are many whose hearts are broken because for all of the years of praying and struggling and hoping, they know that their children have yet to claim their faith as their own. I know that there are some who each and every day are burdened by the fact that there's this great good news and not even all in my family have heard that good news yet. It's an unbelievably painful fear. Grief. Grief when we lose someone that we love, but when we're walking through dark seasons of loss, when we've lost our livelihoods, our homes, our physical health. And in these moments of isolation and darkness, it feels that God is quiet. Like we're wondering if we have to go it alone. Then there's the day when we get the diagnosis, those terrible words. When all we can do from that day forward is to face that day's treatment, to manage the pain, to take the medicine, to push ourselves to the end of that day. We come to the end of ourselves and we ask, where is God when my energy is gone and my hope is flagging? Friends, we could spend the whole morning talking about our mental health and our addictions and our marriages and our careers and the schools, all of the things that weigh us down and burden us, the things beneath the surface that we hope that others don't see. There are so many seasons of life where the path is not clear. Which reminds me of a story that my wife loves to tell, and I think she'll be pleased I share it with you today. It won't surprise you that I was an early adopter of Google Maps before it worked. So we went to Florida on a quick trip, my wife and I, and I had a brand new Android phone, one of the first ones ever made with this fancy thing called Google Maps. And my wife, to her credit, a wise woman, said, "Why don't you print off the instructions from MapQuest? If you know what MapQuest is, you're my hero. Why don't you print off the instructions from MapQuest and we'll have it?" I told her with abundant optimism, "No way! I have this GPS device that's going to tell us exactly where we need to go." And she, being a gracious person, said, "Okay." So we get into the rental car in Florida. I punch in the place we're supposed to go. And every half a mile, the GPS said, "Please make a U-turn." And we drive another half a mile. "Please make a U-turn." And I, on the Florida interstate, did about 3 or 4 U-turns before the bright one, who is me, realized, "Oh, it doesn't know where we're going." And that's the question. How do we navigate when the instructions are not clear? What Ruth and Naomi have to teach us about the practices of faith is that we have to orient ourselves in seasons when the next step is not always obvious. This is what I mean. No matter what you're supposed to do today, I know that you are called, like Ruth and Naomi, to persevere. One more step today. There's no fast forward button for faithfulness. This is not a podcast you can listen to on 1.5 speed. Life of faith is one step at a time. You are never done passing on the faith to the next generation. We model it far more than we preach it. Waking up today with one more prayer, practicing forgiveness one more time, choosing gratitude over complaining and bitterness. It's a choice for today. It's your choice today. I don't know what God wants from you next year. I do know that today's troubles are enough. Every day is an opportunity and possibility for ministry. And do not miss that small things can be big things. Tomorrow, Del Wiersma's family is going to celebrate his life. And in talking with the family, they told a story that hit me deep in my heart. They were talking about his time with a caregiver in the home in the last years. And they said that one of the nurses who's been caring for Del through those years came to them in the last hours and said, I want to tell you something. You know, that your dad over these last years, he's made me watch church every Sunday. Which I love being a missionary. The second thing, she said, your dad was responsible for me quitting smoking after 15 years. While Del was dying. There's never a moment, friend, never a moment where today's choices don't matter, where the people that we are called to minister to are not possible recipients of God's grace. And make no mistake about it, it takes real courage to wake up another day and to choose for living another tomorrow. Can you imagine having Naomi's courage to return home after she lost everything? What about Ruth's courage to leave behind everything she knew for this woman that she loved? Despite all of the bad things that can and do happen in the world every day, we live because this is a day in which we have hope that God will hold us. Christians have courage because of that hope. That even when the way is hard and God seems distant, we risk putting ourselves back into the world and we trust his promise. He will never leave us. Make no mistake, it takes real courage if we're going to be vulnerable enough to love as Jesus commanded. And I think that's the last direction. No matter what you do today, I know that we are called to love. I can't think of a thing more dangerous or difficult or beautiful than the love portrayed in this story. Ruth left everything behind in her love for Naomi. Dangerously pure and vulnerable and authentic love. It's the kind of love that knows no boundaries. It's the kind of love that boldly gives up everything for another person. It is the act of purest Christ-likeness to give up ourselves on behalf of another person. Make no mistake about it, it is unbearably frustrating when God is present but silent. The truth is, God's will isn't always clear. Sometimes our only compass will be faithfulness, trusting in God, praying for courage to face another day, and to choose love again, true, self-giving love. That, I think, brings us to the subject of this series, faithfulness. And like God to Ruth in this sermon, I've not talked about faithfulness explicitly because it's been written through the whole text. Was Naomi faithful? She trusted God each and every day to wake up and face another difficult step. Was Ruth faithful? She made one of the most beautiful statements of faithfulness I dare you to find in the scripture. In her own way, Orpah was faithful because it was only at her mother-in-law's begging that she determined to go home. So then what of God? What of God? Was God faithful? When you look at the story of Naomi and Ruth, there was not a moment with a divine word, no tablets of stone, no angels, no voices, no flashes of lightning. But friends, there was day by day, messy, broken faithfulness. people practicing perseverance and courage and love, and God was underneath every single moment of it. Ruth may be the book that illustrates faith for the rest of us. Today's choices, those people closest to you, God's quiet presence. And somehow, God makes the sum greater than the parts. If God seems silent, don't be afraid. The promise is that he is with you. Even in the silence, even in the mess, God is there. And for people like Naomi, Ruth, Orpah, and us, that is more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.